someplace else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. I have the greatest guest with me today on this show, the talented Paige DeMacos. Paige is somebody that I know very well. We've worked together for, I guess, over a year now on a lot of different video projects, originally with Fan Rag Sports, rest in peace.
And now
with the Draft Network, she is our wonderful host. If you guys have been paying attention to what we're doing at the Draft Network with our live shows, we did the Senior Bowl recap on day one. We did the fantasy show, the fantasy mock draft, on day two. And we'll have a recap for you again today on day three. And she's the host. She steers the discussion. And that's what she does for the Draft Network. And she also does some other things. She is the host of the TD Fantasy Podcast, the host for the Draft Network, and she's also the director for the Fantasy Football Cruise. So we have a lot to get into.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So Paige, welcome to the show, and this is fun. I get to be the host.
This is so fun.
And you're the analyst, so
I know,
welcome.
This is strange being on the other side, being the interviewee, but it's fun to have you be in the host seat for this time. And like you said, I'm doing a ton of fantasy content, so that's why we're here. We're going to talk about Bills and their fantasy outlook going into the next season. And obviously the Fantasy Football Cruise, there's a reason you bring it up. Because there is a very, very, very well-liked Buffalo Bills former player that is involved in the Fantasy Football Cruise. I don't know. You may have heard of him, Andre Reed.
Oh. You know what 12 plus 83 equals? Seven. Seven, Paige.
Andre's a great dude. I'm super excited to have him involved in the Fantasy Football Cruise. He's very excited. This was his first year playing fantasy football. He was very competitive. He got very into it, and he used his inside resources to get him some exclusive help with making his picks, including reaching out to some of his mentee wide receivers that are in the NFL. Which I thought he had an advantage, right? He clearly had an advantage. I make phone calls to players. Doesn't quite have the same weight as Hall of Fame Andre Reed, but we competed. He still didn't. He wasn't in first place, but he did well for his first year in fantasy. So shout out to Andre, and I'm sure Bills Mafia will love hearing about him.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Andre Reed. That wait was too long. We're talking about the greatest over the middle wide receiver in the history of the NFL. We're making this guy wait. Historic wide receiver.
Here's the thing about the whole Hall of Fame shenanigans. I feel like we do this, right? We do this across all of sports where there's like, well, he needs to wait a certain amount of time. Why? If he's going to be a Hall of Famer, he's a Hall of Famer from the time he stops playing football to 5 years later. There's no waiting period that needs to happen. We need to relax. Like with the whole happens in baseball, people are pissed off about Mariano Rivera being the first unanimous baseball player voted in the Hall of Fame. Get over it. Andre Reed, he deserved to be in. I'm glad he's in. He loves that gold jacket, and he especially loves sending us pictures to use of him in the gold jacket. So it's amazing. He always ends up saying, "Hey Paige, I got a new photo for us to use on social." I'm like, "Interesting, Andre, still in the gold jacket." He's like, "Yeah, if you got it,
I would
flaunt it.
I would. I'd be flexing.
Hell yeah!
If I had a gold jacket in the NFL,
are you kidding?
Yeah, that would be on all the time. I know it would be on all the time for you.
Oh yeah,
Queen Petty Paige. I mean, that's.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. So that would be a strong flex.
Oh, very strong flex. That and a Super Bowl ring. I would never take either of those things off.
I wouldn't either. And if I was Tom, we're not talking. No, not on the Locked On Bills podcast.
No,
we're not getting into.
We're not talking about the bad team that plays in Boston.
No, and you're not even like a Bills fan. You're Bears, right? Like that's your thing.
I'm a Chicagoan,
but
through and through.
Do we share fellow hatred towards Mr. TB12 or what?
So here's the thing about TB12, and you may not agree, but he also doesn't play in my division. So I get there's a certain level of discomfort that comes from that. I get that. Listen, I have the same disdain for Brett Favre going the Green Bay Packers going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. You talk about unfair. You talk about unfair. That is what unfair looks like from a quarterback perspective. And look at the long lineage of who the Bears have started at quarterback. It hasn't been great. So TB12, I respect the greatness. I respect the level of I call it manufactured at this point, because he has to manufacture the I'm too old, we suck, we this. I'm like, no, Tom, you were a favorite in that game against the Chargers. Nobody said you sucked. You were a 4-point favorite going into that game. But listen, whatever works to get you hyped up to play, he's the greatest quarterback that ever played, in my opinion, and I think he deserves all that credit. That doesn't mean I can't absolutely loathe watching that team play each and every year, it seems like, in the Super Bowl.
Go Rams.
Go Rams.
Go Rams.
Go Sean.
You know what's weird right now is we're talking about fantasy football, the Buffalo Bills, in January. And usually, you know, you worry about fans of teams being homers and reaching for their own players. I'll tell you what, you think about the Bills fantasy players, you can't even get homers to draft these guys. There's not been a lot of intrigue when it comes to the Bills fantasy options with their skill players. But this year could be different, right? Josh Allen, the main reason I wanted to bring you on today, Paige, was to talk about Josh Allen and his fantasy outlook going into next season, because if I understand correctly, he finished the season really, really strong, and there's probably a lot of buzz about him as a fantasy quarterback in 2019.
So the outlook for him looks good because, one, you assume that they're going to upgrade the options around him. They have to, and they can't possibly actually get any worse. They really need to upgrade the options around him for receivers, maybe add to the backfield. Whatever they're going to do, they're going to upgrade the options for him. I also think, and I know we'll get into LeSean McCoy, that he could potentially have a little bit of a bounce back season that would be helpful to Josh Allen. But to stick with Josh Allen, things I love about quarterbacks that can run. The ability to run gives you such an added, I want to say, buffer zone, right? Where you can make a mistake or two, but because of what you can do with your legs and because of the things that he can do and what he does as a fantasy quarterback, people forget that fantasy quarterbacks and real-life quarterbacks, what it means to be great as a guy that you probably evaluate and what I evaluate from a fantasy perspective are way different. Jay Cutler was always a top 12 fantasy quarterback. Jay Cutler, as a quarterback for the Chicago Bears, I hated with a burning passion because he threw a lot of picks and frustrated me. But guess what? He threw for a lot of yards. He's a Matthew Stafford, same thing, very similar with the exception of this year. Josh Allen kind of has a lot of those same tendencies, except he can run. And I think that's the biggest part of this, where you look at this long term. And listen, there were moments where he flashed. He looked much better than what I was expecting him to look like. And that's the outlook going forward, was him. And you look at that trajectory for next year, if you can run, you are a legitimate opportunity as a fantasy quarterback, as a top 15 guy for next year.
It felt like the Carolina Panthers spent a lot of years finding ways to take away the running from Cam Newton,
yes,
right?
Yes.
How can we get him to run the football less? And you know, Sean McDermott comes from a lot of experience with Cam Newton, seeing him take those hits for years and years and years. Do you get nervous that they're going to try to take that away from Josh, that they're going to try to build in more things where he tries to get the ball out quicker? Or do you think that Buffalo is going to continue to let Josh take advantage of that ability to run with his feet? And do you think that'll be such a prominent component of his game next season?
I think if they've learned from watching Carolina, they should continue to let Josh run.
Interesting.
Because if you've learned anything from Carolina, when you have tried to tame Cam, it hasn't worked. It doesn't. He's not the same guy, and you kind of have to ride or die with who he is and how he. And I get it. You have to slide in better opportunities. That's Cam's big thing, right? You're looking at him, you're watching him, you're like, dude, you gotta slide. Like you can't take those contact hits. But that doesn't mean you're gonna take away the running. And you could see he's almost, Cam specifically, very uncomfortable when they tried to kind of, I want to say, pigeonhole him into an offense that doesn't really make sense for his skill set. And I think if you've watched that and you've gone, okay, this Carolina Panthers has been kind of a roller coaster of what this team has looked like over the last few seasons. They've been really great, and they've also been really, really bad, like they were last year, where the expectations at some points during the season, they looked great, and they were up and down with Cam and how he was able to perform. I think if Sean McDermott and company have learned from that, they should know that Josh has a skill set that he is going to be able to run the football. And if you can use that and build around it, it makes a lot of sense. And from a fantasy perspective, that is what I expect to happen, because the Cam Newton experiment has been all over the place and it hasn't been successful.
So how comfortable are you with Josh Allen? I mean, I don't have all the statistics right in front of me, but from what I understand, he finished like over the last however many weeks of the season, like the number one fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
You're nodding as if that's a true statement.
Yeah, it was like on a per game basis for the last few weeks, because obviously he had his injuries.
Right.
And he was in the top, depending on what you play, a PPR or regular league, he was in the top tier of quarterbacks. And I know that will be surprising to many, but that is where he was. He was 3 in my Yahoo league in PPR over the last few games that he played, and I'm telling you, it has to do with what he does with his feet.
Yeah.
If he can run and he can get, he not only that, but he gets himself in the end zone that way a lot. And they go to that. And that is a huge upside for a quarterback. If you are able to do that and know that he's going to have those opportunities. And you saw that. And I just assume that Buffalo, like I said earlier on in this podcast, I assume that they're going to upgrade around him.
Right.
Because I think he showed you enough. I know there were a lot of question marks when he got drafted. But I think he showed you enough that you can say, okay, we're going to give it a fair shot with this guy as our quarterback, and we're going to build around him, and we're going to give him an opportunity, because the defense, if they can be good enough, if they can be solid enough and have a solid play from Josh Allen, you can have a good football team. And I think that's what I expect to see from Josh Allen. So from a comfort standpoint, I'm very comfortable going into next season with Josh Allen.
Whenever I think about young players in year one, I always like to tell myself, even though it might not be true, that this is as bad as the player will ever be.
Yeah.
Right? And so we expect him to get better.
Yeah, we should.
And so, I mean, do you buy into, like, there being how much better next year? I mean, is this a first-round type pick in a 12-team league? Is there that much excitement about what Josh can be next year for fantasy purposes?
I'm not a first round. So here's the thing with quarterbacks. You have to know that you can get good value later on. And I think that's where Josh Allen is going to end up falling in the drafts. Is he's going to be a later quarterback that you pick up, but he ends up being a guy who's going to help you win a league. Because guess what? I'm going to be able to go wide receiver, running back early, and I'm going to wait on a quarterback, and it's going to end up that somebody's going to take Aaron Rodgers really early like they did this year, and he's going to end up on a points per game basis being nearly the same as some of these guys, as Josh Allen, as we're talking about. Some of these guys, because it's the quarterback position, it's when you look at it, you go, wow, it's really usually it's one or two guys. Like last year was Deshaun Watson for a while. It was just at a crazy level from a fantasy perspective. But it usually comes down to being about even for everybody. They're pretty close. And the difference between me going out and getting, I don't know, Ezekiel Elliott or Alvin Kamara or Michael Thomas early in the first round next year and waiting on a quarterback is what I would do. And that is where I'm going to project Josh Allen to go. He's going to be a guy, I'm going to tell you next year, I'm going to draft him, and I'm going to tell you I'll be in the 7th or 8th round, and I'm going to get Josh Allen. I'm going to go, I'm going to win, and I'm going to send you my lineup, and I'm going to show you how I'm dominating everybody, because I took Josh Allen and I waited and I was able to fill out the rest of my roster.
Wait on Josh Allen and prosper. That's what Paige DeMakos is trying to tell you here.
Yes.
We want to get into LeSean McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do, Paige, you are dropping the wisdom here on the Locked On Bills podcast, and they can get wisdom more than just this podcast.
Yes, they can.
With you host the TD Fantasy Podcast. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, guys, I host the TD Fantasy podcast with Jake Arians. You should be familiar with the name. His dad's coaching in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He was a kicker in the NFL for a little while. I think he kicked in Buffalo for a little while. So
he did.
And I'm gonna kick.
Don't look up his stats.
Yeah, don't
do
look up his stats. Kickers are people too. That's what Jake would tell you. Myself, Jake, and Jamie Eisner, who's a former colleague of you, also from FanRag Sports, we host it together. Great fantasy knowledge, and they also do gambling stuff together. And the two of them, I will tell you, I have to give the shout out to them. They picked games against the spread at 60% this year. And their locks of the year were at 65%. They picked between 2 and 4 games every year where they locked them in, premium picks, and they picked at 65%. So that means if you were, all those at home, if you were following along, you are in the green. You made money this NFL season, and that doesn't happen very often. So shout out to my guys. You can see all our TD Fantasy. We're doing fantasy football and gambling content, and we always got coaching scoop because, well, we got Jake on the show.
So you're telling me I can get fantasy wisdom,
yes,
and I can just get free money by taking the picks.
100%.
I'd probably listen to the TD Fantasy podcast if I were you. Subscribe, iTunes, whatever, all the stuff.
It's everywhere. Whatever platform you're on, it's there. Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Play, Google Play, whatever, wherever you are, the podcast is there. So look it up, TD Fantasy, and you should be able to find it.
And follow Paige on Twitter, at the underscore sports page. There's an I in page.
There is.
I would follow. She's tremendous. Not only does she give you good information, but she claps back a little bit. Paige brings the heat.
I do clap back quite a bit.
And you're not shy about it. Like, you're on this kick right now about like putting down the city of St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
I'm really into making fun of St. Louis.
Okay. But it's not just that. I mean, you got to follow her. You got to kind of get in on her quirks because she's a great follower on the Twitter machine at the underscore sports page. All right, Paige.
Shady.
Yep. He's 30.
I know.
He had the worst season of his career.
I know he did.
Bad offensive line, obviously. Eric Wood and Richie Incognito not being part of the mix really mattered a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously, probably playing a rookie quarterback like Josh Allen, probably teams really daring Buffalo to win through the air. What type of life is left in LeSean McCoy? Are you excited at all about him?
So here's the thing about Shady, and maybe it's because I've had him on so many teams where I was successful that I have this silver lining or what are the rose-colored glasses on for Shady. But I do think that with a better offensive line, with health, obviously, first and foremost for him coming back, and with you have to have some continuity on this offense. I mean, Josh Allen's injuries, his injuries, the offensive line. I mean, there's got to be some continuity for him to have come back and be successful. The good thing is we've seen, most recently, we've seen some older running backs have success. Mm-hmm. Frank Gore was successful this year. He's like, I called him freezer burn ice cream. That was my comparison because
I'm perking up already.
I was like, he's so old. He's like freezer burn ice cream. And guess what? He had a pretty damn good year, and he actually outran Kenyon Drake, who was down there. And that's what I don't know if it's because Adam Gase didn't know what he was doing or what was going on, but that was part of it. We have Adrian Peterson, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's also over 30 and had a pretty damn good year with a team that was, I mean, you talk about injuries. I know it happens in the NFL, but there is not a team that dealt with more injuries than the Washington Redskins.
Nope.
And from an offensive perspective, to be able to continue to run the football the way he did and have some success, I think that should only make you kind of have at least opportunistic views of what could happen for Shady, because I do think there's a little gas left in the tank, and I think when properly used and given the opportunity to be healthy and be using that offense with some better options around him where he's not the focal point anymore, I think he can be pretty good.
You just gave me hope in Shady McCoy. Paige, I was down. I did a podcast with the good listeners a couple weeks ago, State of the Roster, talking about the Bills' backfield and how they just didn't have anything dynamic.
Yep.
But I guess I just didn't consider like how many older running backs are producing in the league right now.
Yeah.
And even like Fred Jackson was a guy in Buffalo who was able to kind of get some good years later in his career. One thing I'll say about Shady, we've had a lot of conversations this week talking NFL, things like that. Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, some of the pickiest dudes in the business. They are very, very selective with who's in their locker room. And not only was Shady a holdover from the previous regime, but they have 2 years in a row overlooked trade offers to keep him. And they've been very outspoken about, hey, we want Shady McCoy to be part of the mix next year. We want him. We don't want to give you something in a season where we're going to be picking in the top 10. We're not in the playoffs. We're going to turn our ears to potentially a day two pick for LeSean McCoy because we want him in 2019.
Yeah. No.
That matters, right?
That absolutely matters. And I don't think they're blind to – they don't have blind loyalty to him as you were describing. Yeah. I think that means a lot when you're talking about what he brings to the team. Like I said, we're talking about there are other running backs who are significantly older than him that are still doing it at a high level. So I think for him, he gets his body back in shape. He gets his body healthy. That's the biggest part of this for me is that I got to know for him going in, I got to talk to people within the organization and go, how is his body looking? How is he looking from a health perspective? That's going to matter a lot going in this year. And I think the reason I can give you hope from a fantasy perspective is because of his season this year, he's going to be available very, very late in most drafts. And for Bills fans, that should, if you're like me, I like to have a player from my team on my roster, no matter what. No matter what, I always have a Bears player on my roster. It's not Cody Parkey, I'll tell you that right now. You have to have at least one, okay? Shady should be a guy that you go out and go, okay, you know what? I'm going to take a flyer on a bench running back, okay? I'm going to have him at some depth with some high upside because you know the caliber of a running back that he can be, okay? And I always go with low risk, high upside for my bench guys. And he is the definition of low risk, high upside for a bench guy. And I know you're going to get great value on him.
Paige, I conned you a little bit. I told you I wanted 10 minutes. I knew the entire time we were going to do the full pod together. We talked a little bit. I want to give you the floor to maybe give us some other Bills takes that you have. You name dropped a guy here in the pre-show. Yeah. So I want to give you a chance to do that. Before, though, you do that, you've got something coming up here. The Fantasy Football Cruise.
Yes.
That sounds good to me. What do we have going on there?
Okay, so 4 days in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Leaving from Miami, going to Nassau. Going for a day, going to a private island, Coco Cay Island, the Bahamas. It's Royal Caribbean's actual private island. Not like Fire Festival, not like Disaster Private Island, like an actual real private island that the Royal Caribbean owns with a exceptional water park. Beautiful. I mean, you're talking about the most crystal clear blue water. And guess what we're having? You guys know Del Reed? He runs the Bills Mafia.
They know Del Reed.
You guys know who Del Reed is? The Bills Mafia is going to have a private tailgate with Andre Reed on the beach in Coco Cay. Think of the possibilities for the Bills Mafia. You know what a tailgate looks like when it's cold and you're freezing your butt off and you're in the middle of Buffalo. What the hell is a Bills Mafia tailgate gonna look like on a private island in the Bahamas? I'm not even a Bills fan and I'm excited. I might jump on a table. I might become part of the Bills Mafia. That's how excited I am about
it. I wouldn't miss that.
Oh, it's gonna be exceptional.
If they come, are you willing to be driven through a table? Are you saying that?
Listen,
committing to this? Or?
Bills Mafia, if you guys book the cruise on fantasyfootball@sea.com and you hit me up on Twitter, I will do a video in some Bills gear on a table. I'm going to do the whole Bills Mafia. I know exactly. I'm probably going to, you know, separate my shoulder or something. But it'll be worth it for the views.
Okay, where do they go again? Because I need to know. Where do we go to sign up for this? I'm in.
Okay.
What do we got?
Yeah. Fantasyfootball@sea.com. Guys, go check that out. There's different, you know how a cruise works. There's balcony. There's suite level. We're going to have casino games going on. We're having private cocktail parties. We're going to have, like I said, the Bills Mafia. We're going to do a scavenger hunt. We're doing a golf tournament. It's going to be ridiculous couple of days and no fun. Zero fun. No fun at all.
I'm sold. That sounds tremendous. Andre Reed. Okay. All right. So I said you're going to kind of leave this last segment here open for the floor.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a defensive player you want to mention. Maybe there's another skill player with the Bills for fantasy purposes that are intriguing. Paige, talk to the people.
Okay. So little backstory here, people. My first job out of school, I was covering the Arizona Cardinals. So this is where this connection was made. The connection was made to Lorenzo Alexander, who I can say... One, I've appreciated watching what Zoe has done as a player, as an older player for the Buffalo Bills. A huge impact, not only from a playing perspective, but also from who he is as a man, as a husband. He is everything that's right about the NFL that never gets talked about, right? You and I have had this conversation recently that media is all about talking about all the bad stuff that's happening. Lorenzo Alexander is everything that's right with the NFL, and that relationship started in Arizona, and I've kept close with him. He and I follow each other on Twitter. I'm always keeping tabs on what he's doing. He's the best. He's a great guy. He's super nice, so likable, and I love that he's just totally embraced being part of Bills Mafia. He loves it.
Yeah.
He loves being there. He loves the fans. He loves the culture. He loves everything about being in Buffalo. So, fans, listen, you give extra love to my guy, Zoe, because I don't get to see him as often anymore. So make sure you're shouting him out at the game. You're giving him some love because he is the best. He's one of the best dudes, and he's a great leader in a locker room.
Yeah, we love Zoe.
He's awesome.
And especially with Kyle Williams retiring, is such an important player this year for that leadership. And excited to have him back, right?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful story. Drafted as a – was he? He might have been undrafted.
Undrafted
as a defensive tackle from Cal.
Yeah.
Makes a career playing special teams. Converts to linebacker. Is making Pro Bowls. Unbelievable story. And like you said, an even better person off the field. Anything else? We got Robert Foster. Is Charles Clay cooked? Anything else you want to give us on these offensive players?
I was a big Charles Clay person for a while.
Yeah.
I'm willing to dabble and see what Charles Clay can do. Because here's the thing about it. Like, There's always this position. You're looking at it and you're going, okay, can they have a bounce back season? Can they be better? If I've seen success, I'm always interested to go back and see if that can happen again. So I got to see when I'm evaluating from a fantasy perspective, because you're my go-to when you're talking about evaluating players coming into the draft.
Mm-hmm.
From a fantasy perspective, I'm getting looks from Kyle Krabs. He's sitting across from us right now. He is upset that I have named Joe. But guess what, guys? This is the Locked On Bills podcast, so we're all about Joe right now. When I'm talking about fantasy and I'm evaluating those guys, I talk to people on the team. I talk to the coaches. I ask them what's going on. Who's getting the most reps? That's the stuff that I. What's the offense look like? What's their division matchup against? Does the division play the tight end position really tough? Because that's eight games you're looking at. If they're looking, I mean, those things all matter. It matters a lot. So that's the type of research we put into it. And on top of that, I have Jake and Jamie who put in unbelievable hours in watching what we're doing. So we always come at it and we don't always agree. So there's always that too. We're always trying to come together over guys, but I'm still to be determined on Charles Clay. I think we could get back to a point where I'm telling you to draft him. I think we could get there.
Is there anything else I can squeeze out of you?
I'm trying to think. Is there anybody else?
I just want to leave it up. Robert Foster, do you have a take? Exploded onto the scene late last season. Vertical threat for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, if you project his numbers out across 16 games, it's really good. But
it is really good.
Do we think he has an even more to him? Is there a higher ceiling for next year?
It's another one we're going to look and watch in the preseason. People, do not ever draft before the preseason's over. Do not do it. There is absolutely no reason to not give yourself all of the preseason to evaluate, watch for injuries, make sure that things that are happening, teams are cutting guys, they're going, moving along. That's my piece of advice to you on this parting thought, because those are the guys you're going to watch and you're going to go, okay, are they involved in the offense? If they add somebody in this draft class that's going to be a part of this offense, or they pick up a free agent, what's his role going to be now? You have to see how the offense shakes out, because it's January right now.
Yep.
There's a lot that can happen between now and the kickoff of next season. So those are the types of players that you put them on the bubble. You know the talent's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they can be a part of it, but you got to see it a little bit before you're willing to take a risk.
A lot of sources for fantasy football out there. But the sources, the inside the league look that your staff has is what I think really makes you guys the go-to source. So follow Paige on Twitter at @_sportspaige. Check out the TD Fantasy Podcast and book that cruise, guys. That is the fantasy football cruise. I wouldn't miss it. Andre Reed, Paige DeMacos,
Jake Arians, Pilar Lastra, Adam Ronis, the whole Scout Fantasy crew is going to be there. There's going to be a ton. So much fantasy football and a couple other pro players to be named.
And Paige has committed.
I'm in.
To getting
it's
driven.
To it's up to you, Bills Mafia.
Show up. Go on this cruise. Sounds like an amazing time. You have been a wonderful guest.
Thanks.
I hope I've been a wonderful host.
You did great. I'm impressed. I'm like, man, maybe
well,
you should host the show.
20 hours? What do we talk about? We have 20 hours of live TV, I guess, broadcast together.
We got this whole on camera, on broadcast chemistry thing down. We know what we're doing now together.
Well, what I'm trying to say though is I've learned from your tactics.
Oh,
well, hopefully.
Look at that.
Hopefully.
Look at him.
I've harnessed some of that and have been able to do well by you today. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on here. And people, subscribe to this podcast.
Please do it.
I don't know if I'll ever have another guest as good as you on this podcast. I've got one lined up for Friday.
Listen, I'm not making any promises, but we're going to try and get Andre to be a part of this podcast. We've got to do it. We're doing it. We're releasing.
How
it
am
to
I supposed
people.
To wrap this podcast if
we're
you're going to keep?
We're going to leave it to the people. People, hit up Andre. You know where he is. Find him on Twitter. Let him know about this podcast, and I'm going to hit him up and let him know. Hey,
you already have.
Listen.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I already have.
Yep.
You know
yep.
how I'm working. I'm always working the sources
right.
to make sure that things are happening for my guys. But listen, everybody should listen to this podcast and continue to give love, because as much as it pains me to say, I don't love giving love to any other fan bases, but man, oh man, does it get much better than the Buffalo Bills?
No.
It does not. You guys are loyal to the fault, and you have some of the best tailgates in the entire world, and I can't wait to party with all of you on a private island. It's going to be awesome.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Locked On Bills podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a 5-star review and leave some kind words. None of that mean stuff. Only 5-star reviews, and share this podcast. Tell people about what we're doing, because Paige brought the wisdom today and other people need to know about it. We'll be back with you again on Friday. I have another sensational guest, my favorite NFL draft analyst in the business. Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network is going to join me for our first in-depth look at the NFL draft and the Bills and the decisions they have looming at number 9, some of the targets they can have on day 2. And I told Kyle today, actually, to prepare and bring the wisdom, because this is our first discussion with me as the host of this podcast looking at the draft. And I'm going to get myself out of the way and bring on the expertise of Kyle Krabs, who is one of the not one of, he's the best evaluator in the business. So make sure you don't miss that, and make sure you hit that subscribe button. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Bills.